But we'll go back quickly just to remind ourselves about the question. Rabbi Bachama asked a question. He wants to know that if you have a rova hakav of atzamot of a shidra and a gugolet, what is the din? Meaning that we know that there's a din of chatzi kav atzamot that the nazir is megaleach. That's one din we know for sure. We also know a separate din, which is shidra ugugolas, which the Gemara was down on beforehand, but that's shidra or gugolet, or shidra and gugolet. We know that those are enough or sufficient to create a need for the nazir to be megaleach alehem. Now Rami Bachama wants to know, but if you have a rova kav, right, which is below the chatzi kav, but it includes shidra and gulgolot. So maybe when you have shidra and gulgolot, which are broken up and they are in a box or a bucket full of them that have a rova kav atzamot, maybe that would be sufficient. So, but yesterday I'd mentioned that it seemed like, you know, the Gemara had stopped inquiring about whether it was shidra and gulgolot or shidra or gulgolot. And then they slid over to this other question, similar to what they had done yesterday with the question of Shalim and Chaser. And they slid over the topic into another question by Rabba. So I saw the Rush actually connects the two questions. And he says, that's exactly Rami Bar Chama's question. He says, this is interesting, I'll read you the Rush. The Rush is found on Nun Gimel and Amud Aleph, and he says that the questions are tied together. He says, the Nira, the Baya, the Rami Bar Chama, Talya, Hak, the Mabayla, and Lam. The Rami Bar Chama's question is dependent on the previous question. Right? E shidra b'gulgolos t'nan, o shidra o gulgolos t'nan. Do we learn shidra and gulgolos, or shidra or gulgolos? The pshitale, the Rami Bar Chama, e shidra b'gulgolos t'nan, that if it's, you need shidra and gulgolos, so what does that mean? That means that shidra and gulgolos are worth less. Each individually aren't so chamur. They're only, you need both of them, not just one individually. By chatzikav, then for sure you're going to need a chatzikav of shidra and gulgolos, the halo chamire, because they're not so chamor. Vishidra o gulgolos, if the Gemara's conclusion above is shidra or gulgolos, that means shidra by itself or gulgolos would be sufficient. Tzan, shikalei de arova mehem megaleach, that for a quarter kav you'll be megaleach, came to chamire, because they are so chamor. Vihigufa kamibayle the Rami Bar Chama, and that's the question of Rami Bar Chama. So it's very interesting, as opposed to what I would have thought, that Rami Bar Chama, right, was just asking an independent question, that whether shidra and gulgolos will be sufficient in a rova kav versus a chatzi kav. The way the Rush formulates the question is that Rami Bar Chama's question is premised on the conclusion of the previous Gemara, whether it's shidra or gulgolot, or shidra and gulgolot. If it's shidra and gulgolot, that means that shidra and gulgolot are not strong enough by themselves, each individually, to make him tamei. You need both of them together to make him tamei. If that's the case, then you definitely need chatzi akav.
But there's no logic there.
There's not. It's just, he says, the Rosh says it's because it has to do with the chumrah of shidra gulgolos. And I agree with you. There's no clear logic that connects them. I wouldn't have connected them. But the Rosh does that and says that Rami Bar Chama's question is a continuation of that previous Gemara. And he says, well, if shidra or gulgolos, that means that each one is chumrah by itself, then it should be a rova kav atzamot. If it's shidra and gulgolos, not each one is not chumrah by itself, and therefore it will be a chatzi akav. Like you're saying, there's no logical connection between those two. He just says it's a chumrah versus a no chumrah, and Rami Bar Chama has two tzvadim. He says rova kav and chatzi kav. So he puts the two together and says that's the continuation of the Gemara. Otherwise, it's hard to understand, not hard, but the Gemara just abruptly stops and then continues with Rami Bar Chama's question, which is not a, right, all of a sudden a new topic in a sense. So the Rush tries to connect between the two, although as we mentioned yesterday, that it's not unusual in Nazir for the Gemara just to stop a topic and start a new topic. And we were not surprised by that type of...
I think it's more unusual in Nazir for the Gemara to actually come to a resolution of the topic.
All right, so that's... So anyway, that was... I just wanted to point that out in Rami Bar Chama's question. Now, today, we have another question. So now we have to deal with Shammai. So yesterday we tried to bring a proof or an answer to Rami Bar Chama's question, right, from the Rova, tried to bring a proof from Shidra Vigulgolis, right, why it wasn't mentioned in the Mishnah, and the Gemara rejects that because it says that we even know Rova himself says that Shidra and Gulgolis were less than Rova Akav, so we have no proof from Shidra and Gulgolis or that case over there. Now the Gemara is going to say Tashma. It's the beginning of Nun Gimel and Aleph, the top of Nun Gimel and Aleph, third line down. Tashma, we're going to try to bring another proof. Tashma, Shammai Omer, Shammai says, Etzem Echad Min HaShidra Min HaGulgolis. Right, so one etzem, one bone from the Shidra or the Gulgolis is sufficient to have a Nazir Migaleach on it. Implicit from that is that the position of the Chachamim would not be so far away from Shammai. That Shammai requires only one bone of a Shidra and a Gulgolis, and a Chachamim require Chatzi Akav. I mean, that would be such a machlokas of extremes, right? Versus if you think that Shammai thinks you only need one bone, meaning of a Shidra and a Golis, and the Chachamim believe Rov HaKav, then their positions are only, you know, slightly apart, not very, very wide gulf between them, between their positions. So that's the Gemara's assumption. If Shammai believes that one XM is enough, right, then certainly the Chachamim believe it's Rov HaKav. That's the way the Rosh reads it. The other possibility to read it is what Shammai says, Etzem Echad Min HaShidra O Min HaGilgolis, like yesterday's Gemara, where we read it. The fact that Shammai says, O Gilgolis, Shidra O Gilgolis, now, based on what the Rosh was saying, that when it's either or, that means that Shidra and Gilgolis are Chamur. If they're Chamur, then it should be Rov HaKav. I mean, that the Shidra O Gilgolis will teach you that Shidra and Gilgolis are Chamur by themselves. Each one individually is enough by itself. That's what the Chachamim believe, and then should be also Chamur enough to be Rov HaKav. Either way, the Gemara's answer is the same as it gave yesterday, which is Shani Shammai de Machmir. Shammai is an extreme position. Is it? Machmir Tvei, right? That he is an extreme position, so you can't learn anything from Shammai. He's such an extreme position. So, yes, it's possible that the gulf between Shammai and the Chachamim is so wide, because Shammai is an extreme Chumra position, and therefore we can't learn anything from that. So the Gemara says, well, if he's such a Chumra position, Lipshel Ina, Taimed the Shammai, the Machmir. Right, so if that's the case, that the gulf is so wide and Shammai is such a machmir, then let's say, if you're willing to say that Shammai is an extreme position, then assume that the position is not Rov HaKav, but Chatzi HaKav. Right, so that would be Atzamot. So my says, no, Dilma Ad Kam Lo Pligi Rabbanan Alei De Shammai Lo Be'etzem Echad. Now, maybe when we say it's an extreme position that he says even one bone from a spine or a skull is sufficient. Aval Barov Atzamot, okay, the Rabbanan Mo De, but when you get to Rov Atzamot, maybe even the Chachamim disagree. Meaning that Shammai has two chumrot, in a sense. He has one chumrot, well, or a number of chumrot. One is that he says Shidra O Gulgolet, right? He says Shidra or Gulgolet. Number two is chumrot that is even one XM, a single XM from a Shidra O Gulgolet is sufficient to create the tuma that a Nazir is Megaleach on. So now when you come to Armi, you want Shammai, you can argue on a, right, number of levels. Then you can argue there are three possible issues that you can disagree with Shammai on. One is that a single XM is not enough. That's one thing you can argue with him on. The second thing you can argue with him on is whether it's Shidra or Gulgolith versus Shidra and Gulgolith. And the last thing you can argue with is how much do you need of a Shidra Gulgolith? Do you need Rov HaKav or do you need Chatzi HaKav? So those are three possibilities of items you can argue on Shammai. So just because you know Shammai's position doesn't mean you really understand the alternative positions are arguing with him on. They can argue on any one of those three points, and therefore we can't bring a proof to what Rabbi Yechama said over here. Okay, Amar Rabbi Lezer. So Kenim Arishonim. So here, this is for Shaul, because he said that the Gemara in Nazir never comes to any conclusions. Here we'll have a Gemara come to a conclusion. Right? So Amar Rabbi Eliezer. It's the Kenim Arishonim, right? In the earlier times, the Kenim believed Mitzatena Yomrim Chatzi Kav Atzamot V'Chatzi Dam Chatzi Lo Dam L'Chol, right? For everything, meaning that everything, anything to do with Tuma, whether it's got to do with Nazir, or it's got to do with Tumat Ohel, all what qualifies to make it Tameh is Chatzi Kav Atzamot V'Chatzi Lo Dam. Now, that's not a problem for our Mishnah. Our Mishnah here in Nazir says that the requirement for Nazir to be Migaleh Akhan is Chatzi Kav Atzamot and Chatzi Lo Dam. So that basically agrees with our Mishnah over here. What it does disagree with is the Mishnah in Oholos. The Mishnah in Oholos says that you only need Rov HaKav Dam, Rov HaKav Atzamot and Rov HaLog Dam. So these position of these Chachamim was that agreed with our Mishnah here, but disagree with the Mishnah in Oholos. They say everything is Chatzi Kav and Chatzi Log. And then there was an opposite position that said Af Rov HaTzamot Revias Dam Lakol, the other way around, that everything has Rov HaTzamot and Revias Dam is for everything. So now if I think about everything, that means this agrees with the Mishnah in Olos. The Mishnah in Olos said that what do you need for Tumas Ol? You need Rev HaLog Dam and Rov HaKav HaTzamot. What does it argue on? It argues on our Mishnah here. Our Mishnah here says for a Nazir to be Migaleach, you need Chatzi Kav HaTzamot and Chatzi Log Dam. So this other extreme position argues on our Mishnah here. And of course, right, we have the middle position, the later basin came up, Amru, Chatzi Kav HaTzamot v'Chatzi Log Dam Lakol. Right, that works for everything. Rov HaTzamot v'Via Dam L'Truma V'Kodshim. For Truma and Kodshim, then you have a Rov HaTzamot v'Via Sadam, Aval Lo L'Nazir V'Osa Pesach. So now if we do this, this works out, right? Meaning that the Mishnah in Olos that says that Rova Kabatzimot and Reva Logdam is sufficient to create Tumas Ohel, that's referencing what type of Tumah, right? That's referencing Tumah that's affecting Truma and Kochim. So when it comes to Truma and Kochim, the din is Reva Logdam and Rova Kav Atzimot.
Is there a banan?
What? It might be. It seems to be that it's the Rabbanim, because what we're going to say is like Lohi Midu Dimi Ibrahim. So that seems that that is a Rabbanon, right? Whereas the Doraisa level is probably Chatzi Log and Chatzi Kavatzimot. Therefore, a Nazir uses, we go back, anytime we involve Karbanot, right, and bringing Karbanot, or possibly bringing Kulam Azara, or a Chi of Kares, the Chum said, stay with Chatzi Log Dam and stay with Chatzi Kavatzimot. So what are those two cases? That's the case of Nazir, who has to do Tiklach Satuma and bring Karbanot to the Mikdash, and Ose Pesach, who is a Chi of Kares. So if he fails to bring his Pesach, he has a Chi of Kares. So that Chi of Kares is going to force him to say what? That we're going to push it back to the Doraisa level, right, Chiyuv, which is Chatzi Log Adam and Chatzi Kav Atzamot. But they were Machmir, that's the Mishnah in Olos, which was Reva Kav Atzamot and Reva Log Dam. That'll be for playing Tuma when we're dealing with Truma, Kochim, being Posel, certain items. In that case, we will go back to the Revi'ah Sadam. So now the Gemara says, the Gemara says, if you look in the Mefarish, the only reason I said to you, if you look in the Mefarish, in the first wide line, in the Mefarish, in the lower half, he says, right, he says, the Makom Karis Lohi Midu Divrehem, right, which implies that the Rebbe Log and the Rebbe Akav are Dirabonan, because if the Makom Karis Lohi Midu Divrehem suggests that it was a rabbinic institution that they did not impose when there was a Chiyuv Karis over there.
But they could have imposed it as a Geder.
Right, but it's still Dirabonan. It doesn't change the fact that it's a Dirabonan level. It's still not Minatoru.
Nothing of it.
Right.
But they're not even imposing it on a Dirabonan level.
Right.
Why not do it as a Siag, as a Geder?
Well, I don't know. The Dirabonan can be formulated in different ways. It can be a Dirabonan can be an extension of a Dor, right? So it can be a totally new din. Over here, it's a Gzeira, right? It's a Tuma. Now, that's the position of the Mefarish. On the other hand, the position of Tosfos, alright, is that it's, Tosfos, which says, Bezin Tachreim, Amu Chatzi Kavatzimot Lakol, he says, Vachacha Gemiri Luhu. This is what they learned. So that means that it was a Misoro or Alach Lamosh Misinai that it divides this way. Alright, so it's not, as opposed to the Mefarish that says that this was a Hachlatos Chachamim to not be Mamed Divreim, the Tosfos says that's Alach Lamosh Misinai, which make them both the Oraisa, that split is the Oraisa, which I think is probably more Mikubal Aladas. All right, now, the Gemara deals with the problem. Now, what do we do about Pesach? So he says, Ein hachrash lishit machrat. So this is a cryptic term here, but the basic understanding of what Ein hachrash lishit is, that generally we have a position, that if you have two opinions, right, and then there's a pasuk hashlishi machriya b'neim, we have a third pasuk which goes like one of those two positions, then we paskin, right, like the one that has two versus one, right? You have two pasukim saying one thing, and one pasuk says another, then we go with the one that says two. The problem you have here is that the middle position, the last position of Bezim Shachrayim, is not a Hachra, because it doesn't go like either position. It's a, right? It's a different position entirely. So that's a problem. So it's, this position is not a position of Hachra, because they didn't decide like one set of Chachamim or like another set of Chachamim. They introduced a totally new, right, position. If they introduced a totally new position, then what are they doing? Are they, what type of sock are they creating based on the two positions that they had before? It's a compromise position, but that's not Hachra. Right, so that's the problem here. So what's the Enoch Kami Sid? So Amar Rabbi Yaakov, he didn't know. B'piya Shmua Amru M'piya Chagya Zechariah Malachi. No, this third position of the Chachamim here is not a Hachura'ah, like the two previous positions that we had set up, but rather it was a Mesorah. It was a Mesorah that they had from Chagya Zechariah Malachi, the last of the Nevi'im, and therefore it was a Mesorah that they were posthuming, like not trying to be Machriya between the two previous positions, but a Mesorah of a third position. That was the position that they paskin like, and not the other two positions.
In the earlier you can't even have that Masorah.
Yeah. Right.
Good question. Definition of Masorah should be.
All right, but that's what we have problems with Torah Shabbat Peh. I mean, that's by definition, that's the problem with Torah Shabbat Peh. That is we won't get into it. This is a huge issue, I mean, both for the Rishonim and for everyone else. How do you have Machlokas in Torah Shabbat Peh? If you have a Masorah, why is there ever Machlokas, right? So you have to deal with the fact that Machlokas, right, is either a shibush in the Mesorah, which is a difficult position, or the other position is that whatever is a machlokas is not part of the Mesorah. I mean, the Mesorah only deals with things that are not the machlokas. or those who don't have it, right, end up with the wrong limudim. I'm not, you know, I mean, these are theological issues that we probably won't be able to address right now, but those are questions.
You can also say that they don't say who these Zekanim and Rishonim and the Beis Mishrach and Hamar, these were Zekanim that it pre-existed Chag Zichar Malachi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but then why did the Masorah only start from Chag Zichar? When you say it comes from Chag Zichar Malachi, all you're trying to do is get back to the Nevi'im. And the Nevi'im had a clear Shoshelet Masorah. So the assumption is if you get back to Chag Zichar Malachi, you're assuming that they got it already, their Masorah was already far-reaching, much more far-reaching back. So all you're trying to do is connect to the end of the Masorah to Nevi'im, so that connects you back to Sinai, right? I don't think
they're... Generally speaking, the time of Nevi'im, you didn't have, I mean, occasionally you had that's something where it said it was forgotten and then it was rediscovered. But those are the exceptions, and there are identified as exceptions, you know, like Moabi, the Lamorian, you know, but generally the time of Nevi'im...
It's a very obscure case, though. It may not have come up in not.
Yeah, I guess it's not.
So that's all right. Anyway, these are what I think they're trying to say over here. Chag Zichar Malachi is that there's Allah Kolamos Shem Sinai of sorts. Now the truth is that the other two positions are tenable, meaning that you could. And when you're asking me how did the other two positions get involved, the final position first of all makes a statement that it's Chatzi. It says that it's Chatzi. First it says Chatzi. It says Chatzi Log, and then it says Chatzi Kav Atzamot. Right, all of those are what? It says Lakol. It makes such a statement. So what you could see possibly is the Zekanim Rishonim had the Masorah, but they only had a portion of the Masorah. I mean, they were missing. They each had a portion of the Masorah, but not the entirety of the Masorah. And that's where the failure comes. This final tzak is that they got the whole Masorah, which is what, you know, both of them are right in some senses, but it depends on the case. I mean, that one of them had the Masorah of the Mishnah here in the Nazir, one had the Masorah of the Mishnah in Olos. And how do you reconcile? How do you deal with the two of them? And that's what the Beis Mishrachim had, the solution that, or the Masorah that dealt with, how do you reconcile between those two?
Interesting that the first two groups are called the Canaan, and the last group is called the Beis Din.
Mishrachim, right.
And the Beis Din has certain aspects of Hashras HaShchim and Hashem HaKodesh that influence their
might be a function of the Anshei Knesset Agdola that was only, according to some, only formed after Chag Zichar Malachi as the continuation of the Nevi'im. And so that's Zekanim Rishonim. If they're before that point in time, Beis Mishrachim is already a later stage. I don't know. These are all good terms.
You also have, you know, the way Rebbe brought down in our Mishnah, right? So it's Rabakav, Rabalov is in general, but not, let's say, a nazir, obligating a nazir to tikvachad, you know, or other similar types of things. In a case of nazir, that's where you have a requirement to bring, if we say that it requires, obligates the nazir and tikvachad, then you have the carbon requirements. So you could never do it out of suffix, right? Because you could bring a chum lazar, possibly. Right, so the holidays, Chatsiakav is going to obligate the Nazir in his Tumah obligations, and so then you don't have any problem in terms of the Nazir. So it makes sense. In other words, in terms of the worst case scenario, let's say that you wouldn't get into a case of stuffing.
Right. If you take that position by Nazir, then you never run into a problem. But that's not we're looking for a Hachra, which is not. Rebbe brought it down here in a sense of Hachra, not in a sense of Suffolk. Right? That your position, you're saying that, oh, Lachomro, because it's a Suffolk here, so by Nazir, you went to the lowest common denominator. Right? I mean, that's not what the Gemara is suggesting. The Gemara is suggesting that there was a Psak Halacha here that was defined, that is the Halacha, is Patsikav, not that that's me Suffolk or Lachomro over here. All right, so now next. So our Mishnah concludes, or says, on these items that the Nazir is Migaleach. Al-Elu Zeresha. So the Mishnah here mentions Al-Elu Migaleach, the Me'ute Etzem Kisaura. To exclude Etzem Kisaura, Da'al Maga'ova Masa'o'in, Ba'alo'lo. Meaning that the first set of lists here in our Mishnah, in these cases, Tuma is brought in all forms, which is Maga, touching, Maso, carrying, and Ohel. The one exception in the list here in the Mishnah is help that does hurt the Nazir, but does not have Tumas Ol, is Etzem Kisaura. So when it says Al-Elu Migaleach, it means on these, and not what? Right? And not on Etzem Kisaura, because Etzem Kisaura is Al-Magov Maso, in Al-Elu. Al-Elu Tseifa, and the Elu of the Seifa, right, and then the later Mishnah says, Al-Elu Ha-Nazir Eno Migaleach. Right, what is it? So what does that Elu come to teach us? That is Le-Mu'ute Eben Haskuchit. Right, that is to get rid of Eben Haskuchit. What is Eben Haskuchit? That is unclear here. Right? There's a number of possibilities. One possibility that the Mefarsh comes down is it's Eben Mismah. Eben Mismah is a concept in Tumah or Tumas Olos, where you have a Eben Shmutel Tagabi Ameis B'Shusa Rabim. It's a very heavy, such a heavy Eben, such a heavy rock or stone that you can't feel, that you can't move anything from it. I mean, that when you touch this rock, when you sit on this rock, you don't have any impact. It's not a maga of some sort, any Nesias Ameis or Heseit Ameis, because it's so big or so immovable that it doesn't have any impact. But nevertheless, if it's over a mace, nevertheless, you are still Tameh. That Eben Mismah is an unusual case in Olos that is Metameh. So then Rashi says that's what it's called. Eben Mismah is Eben Shuma. So that's what this Eben Shachachat. The other possibility is that it's Eben Ashkuchit, it's Eben HaMisachechet ala Kever. It's a stone that is over the Kever, which is actually mentioned in the next Mishnah, Eben HaSachot. And that's what Tosfos here also mentions, that it's Eben HaSachot, Eben HaMisach ala Aretz. That is covering over the ground. You have two or three stones that protrude out of a fence, right? The tuma takan achat mehem, and they have tuma under one of them. Barbar takan achat mehem yodem yehil. He went under one of those stones that protrude out of the fence, but he's not sure which one he went under, right? So that's what the case of Eben Hasachachak. So chachak means from schach, right? That overhang or hang over a kever. So that would be what is a Eben Hasachachit. Now the problem with all of these cases is there are two problems. And the Gemara says al elu when it comes to exclude two cases. What are they? Etzim Kisora, and let's assume like Tosus, Eben Hasokaka. Guess what? Etzim Kisora is mentioned in our Mishnah, and so is Eben Hasokaka. So what type of exclusion is this? Alright, Etzim Kisora is already mentioned in our Mishnah. We said Etzim Kisora. So why, what is that, you know, what is that al elu coming to teach us? Right? So Tosus asks the question on himself. He says,
what's the question is then?
Right, in our Mishnah it says Al Elu Megalchim, right?
Yeah.
And Nazir, right? Mm-hmm. And what is mentioned? Right? Al Elu Megalchim and Nazir Megalech. Look at the line right before that. And the Mishnah says, Val Maganan, Val Masa'an, right? On these items above, you too much Oel, Masa'an, Val Olan. Val Etzim Kisora, Al Mago, Val Maso. It says explicitly in the Mishnah that Etzim Kisora is Mitame, Bimago, Maso. So what do you mean, Al Elu, on these to exclude Etzim Kisora? The Mishnah explicitly excluded, right? Etzim Kisora in the Mishnah. So what does that mean? Al Elu. So that close says the first Al Elu, which is the way the beginning of the Mishnah begins. Al Elu Tumot and Nazir Megaleh comes to exclude Etzim Kisora. So the way Tosu learns, Apagal the Behejik Tani. The last Tosu on the Yom, but I'm Gimon Al. Well, the Rishon Lutz Etzim Kisora Apagal the Behejik Tani. Etzim Kisora Magov Maso the Mashma Aval Al Elu. It's pretty clear. Yishlomer Tani Bahadur Miforish. That the Tan explained it, and then he first gave a general principle, and then he came back and explained it. So the Al Elu, when the mission begins, Al Elu means on these for Ohel, and not Etzim Kisora. Later on, the mission explicates and says, oh, these are the items for Ohel, and then Etzim Kisora is excluded. And then you have to say the same thing by the Al Elu and the Seifa. Oh, Al Elu and the Seifa come to exist.
The mission says, you know, it lists all the things, and then it says, yeah,
yeah, but that's implicit. That's a deal. If it only a Magan and Masan is compared to the previous statement.
The point is that is what is left out of the Mishnah. So it's Al Elu.
All right, so that's not the way. Usually when the Gemara looks for Al Elu, they look for something that's not mentioned in the Mishnah.
There isn't a Masan mentioned in the Mishnah.
Oh, that's
Masan. It's not mentioned in the Mishnah. You're right.
All right, that's what Tosfos Dan says. I don't think that's not the normal way a Gemara deals with these types of things. Al Elu means something that is not explicitly mentioned at all. There's nothing. I mean, it's pretty clear that if you have a statement of Mago Maso Ohel by other things, and then you say Etzim Kisora is Mago Maso, it's clear that they left out Ohel because Ohel doesn't apply by Etzim Kisora. It's pretty clear. If you had to read that mission, if I gave that mission to read without that, you would have said to me Etzim Kisora doesn't apply by Ohel. It's pretty easy to read in the Mishnah. So that's what he said to Mefarish, and that's what Tosa's going to have to say. He says, if you learn that Eben Sechachot, which is mentioned in the second Mishnah, you have to say, Katzkash, Atanel Sefa, Sechachot Brot, Imgaleh, Sechachamor, Hakanami, Tani, Bahadur Mefarish, Kmo Etzim Kisora. You have to say the same thing again. If you say the Al Elu, the second Al Elu in our Mishnah over here, comes to exclude Eben Sechachot, which means Eben Sechachot, our next Mishnah says, not on Aval Sechachot the Parot, you're not. So again, they mentioned, and we already said it in Al Elu, so he's going to say Tani Mefarish again. It's an exclusion, and the Gemara, the Mishnah explicates what, or it comes to detail out what are those issues. It's something along the lines of what Shaul is saying. I don't think this throughout Shas is not the way it's used. Alelu, when you come to include something in a Mishnah, something that is not.
Or that the Akashan.
Right, in Nazir it's not, but I'm saying that's what they are doing here. They're saying Alelu excludes an item, and then the Mishnah addresses that item later. Same thing on the second Alelu, addresses an item, which is addressed later in the Seifa of the Mishnah. Okay? Now, B'chatzi Kavatzamot. Next thing. B'chatzi Kavatzamot. What's B'chatzi Kavatzamot? So chatzi kav atzmot in, rov atzmot lo. Right, so if you have a chatzi kav, yes, but rov kav not. Heki dummy, what's the case? Ilum de isbahon atzmot kis se'ora. But if you have in here atzmot that are the size of a se'ora, right, tzmot le mishum atzmot kis se'ora. I mean, even if you have rov kav atzmot, right, then rov kav atzmot can still be mitamei b'mago maso if there's an atzmot kis se'ora. And there, so why, what does chatzi kav atzmot have that rov kav atzmot does not have? Right, bomb atzmot kisora. Typically, mishum etzim kisora eladak ekmach akmuche. Right, that he, there was crushed bones. There wasn't any, right, bone in etzim kisora left on. These were pulverized bones. They were pulverized to the point where there was no etzim kisora left. And that'll be a difference between when rov kav is nothing then, and chatzi kav is going to be mitameh. Right, so now the question is, the real question is, well, I'll give you an answer. What's the difference between them? If you put, what did we just say, etzim kisora doesn't have that everything else in the Mishnah does have? Tumas, ohel. So I could have just answered to you, what? Chatzi kav atzmot is mitamei b'mago, b'masa, and ohel. Etzim kisora, you're fine. Rova kav atzmot, you're right, you can be mitamei because of etzim kisora. But that only helps you for mago and maso. The difference between rova kav and chatzi kav will be ohel. If you have a chatzi kav and ohel, it will be mitamei. If you have a rova kav, even if it has etzim kisora, it won't be mitamei. And they, oh well, right, why is the Gemara after this at Kmuch HaKmuche? What's going on here? Right, so the Gemara says, that's right, so Tzorach Iyun, Gemara said, Tosos here says, Tzorach Iyun, my Kaparek, Ali in Oel, Irenan, Vetsim Ksor, Lomatami Ba'ol. We just dealt with this topic. It was the last Gemara.
I guess that's a. Like, Etsim Ksor, you don't have oil? Actually, it was a cup.
I'm sorry?
You could have written it a different way. You could have said Etsim Ksor, Ksor. until you have a cup. I mean, if it has soda, it's no oil. Until there's a cup,
right?
Maybe in a more clear way.
Right. So that's right. So that, the Tosfos answer something like you, which is exactly that. Why did, if you mention chatzi kav atzmot in the Reisha, then why do you need to mention rov kav atzmot in the Seifa? I mean, based on what you're saying, is that there's only two categories. There's chatzi kav atzmot and etzem kisora. Why is the Mishnah even mentioning a category called rov kav atzmot? And that's what bothers the Gemara. I mean, the Gemara seems to assume that there's a third category. There's chatzi kav atzmot, rov kav atzmot, and etzem kisora. And that's what the Gemara is addressing. Why is there a third category? And that's, I think, what you were saying, Yossi, that there's, the fact is that you didn't need that. If you really thought it was etzem kisora went all the way till chatzi kav atzmot, then you only need two categories. The fact that the Mishnah introduced the third category is what the Mishnah is after. And what is it, how does the Mishnah solve that? That says when it's a pulverized, right, type of thing, then you have rov kav atzmot.
It's less than rov kav, then it's
nothing. Right, exactly. So rov kav atzmot gets you to a point where it's mitamei ba'ol, but not mitamei the nazir. Here, right, but then you have chatzi kav atzmot, which will already be right mitamei ba'ol even for a nazir, and then the etzem kisora, which is mitamei mago maso. So those will be three different categories.
So if you have a rova, it's mitamei
mago maso and ohel, but not for a nazir. Right, that's the difference. Right, they're different categories. Rova kav atzmot is mitamei ba'ohel, but not as we just had in the Gemara based on Shalach Rayan. It's mitamei ba'ohel for truman klachim, but it's not mitamei ba'ohel for nazir. Right, so that's what it'll be. You have three levels of etzim kisora. Etzim kisora will be maga and masa. Touching and carrying will make you nazir anybody. That'll make you tamei. Ohel does not apply. Rova kav, even if it's pulverized, is mitamei b'maga, masa, and ohel, but not for a nazir. For anybody else, for chuma and touching. Then you have chatzi kav atzmot, which will be the third level, which is, right, it's right, for nazir, which is, it'll be maga, masa, and ohel, but even for a nazir and a osa pesach, right, will be the categories that we had before. All right, so that's the answer is. All right, now this is next gemara. Al eber min a mace, val eber min a chay sheish lim basar kira'ui. So if an eber a mace or an eber min a chay that has enough flesh on them, what is enough flesh on them? The malay aruka, the ability to, if you grafted them back on, they would regrow. I mean, they would survive. If they were attached to the body, they would survive. So the gemara says, inalay basar kira'ui mai. What happens if they don't? If you have an eber min a mace or an eber min a chay that lacks basar kira'ui. So Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Ina Nazir Megaleachalayim, they're nothing. Rabbi Yochanan says they're nothing. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Nazir Megaleachalayim. No, the Nazir is Megaleachalayim. So what does that mean? So why? I mean, we just said that you need Basar Karoi. So that might be the difference between too much oil versus too much Magon Masa. Meaning that the way Rish Lakish is learning is that Basar Karoi makes it that a Eber Min HaMeis, or an Eber Min HaKayim is Matami Magon Masa and Ohel. Whereas when it doesn't have Basar Karoi, it's Matami B'Magon Masa, but not the Ohel. Whereas if Yochanan believes that when you don't have a Basar Karoi, it's not Matami, right, it's out of the picture already. Alright, so that may be a good question. We'll see.
I think,
very good. Next question, Mark. Okay.
Right,
so that's exactly right. Very good. That's exactly what Mark asked. Hey, if you tell me, what's the case here? If it has Ezra Kisora, then Rabbi Yochanan's got to agree. That's exactly the question of Mark. Very good. Rabbi Yochanan, Mark.
For Beirim and Chay, it's with Ami Bowen also?
Yeah. The same din, by every minachayim and every minamais. Yeah. Yochanan Amar, Ina Nazir Megaleachalayim, right? Da'akani Bereisha, al every minamais, al every minachay, right? Sheishlem Tzayis Basar, in, Aval Ina Lehem Lo. Rabbi Yochanan is pretty straightforward. The Mishnah says, if you have it like this, it works. If it doesn't have it like this, it doesn't work. But Sheishlem Tzayis Basar, Megaleach, Megalotani Beseifa. Wait, we have a second half of our Mishnah. A second half of our Mishnah says, these are items that a Nazir is not Megaleachanim. Guess what's not mentioned in that list? What's not mentioned in that list is an Eber that doesn't have Basar Kiroi. So that shows you that, what? Eber without Basar Kiroi is not in the exclusionary list.
It's not oil.
Right, it's just not oil. Right, so that's it. Now the Gemara says, right? So that.
Not a question.
Right. Just want to make sure we got to your question about Etzem Kisora. If the Gemara's going to address it, it's the Rishonim that addressed it. Okay, yeah, the Gemara's going to address it later on. Okay, fine. All right, now, so now Gemara goes, Bukhav. The Gemara says, so Rabbi Yochanan, what's Rabbi Yochanan? The answer is Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan is right. It's not mentioned in the Sefer in the exclusionary items. So I'm going to go ahead and the Mashma Michlala Loktani B'Sefer. That anytime you can imply from the Reisha, then we don't have it in the Sefer. Meaning that if the requirement in the Reisha to be Megaleach of them is Eber Min HaKai with Basar Karoi, implicit is when you don't have Basar Karoi, you're not Megaleach, and then you don't have to explicitly write that. Oh, so Gemara says, well, is that really true? We have a number of items that you could have said that. Chatzi Kavatzimot to Mashma, right? You got some oats in, robots and oats low, but it's not even safe for robots and oats. Meaning that we have that. The Reisha mentions Katsi Kab, which would mean Katsi yes, Rova no, and then the safer mentions Rova Kabat's moat.
I think that the alternative to Katsi is Rova.
The Gemara knows that. That's the Gemara. Yes, but the Gemara knows that there are certain categories of levels of Tumas. You have Katsikab, Rova, and nothing. So, or Etzim Kisora, let's put it that way. So the Gemara knew, the Gemara had these figures already in their heads that these are yes and no. I mean, that there is a significance to Rova Kab. Right, I don't think that the Gemara's not gonna go, what's Katsikab less than Katsikab, but the Gemara always does this. There are significant steps that the Gemara knows, or categories, or shiurim that the Gemara knows, and when it says this, yes, that means not the other. Like if you say, like on Yom Kippur, you need Ketobis Agatsa, that means not a Kazayis, it's the next step. Meaning that the Gemara has step functions of shiurim of sizes, right? They know that you go from Kazayis to, like, Gorris to Ketobis Agatsa, I mean, whatever, those are the sizes that the Gemara is trying to deal with. So here too, when you don't have Katsikab, you have Robakab. Alright, so now, Hatzim, Elab, Rova Kavatzarav, you know, Pilu Magoba Al Masa O. Right, if I didn't have Rova Kavatzamot, I would have thought even on Magau Maso Lo. Okay, it's Rep the Mitney Rova Tzamot. Dalailan who they not Megaleach, but it is Megaleach on Maga and Masa of a Rova Kavatzamot. Okay, so Rova Kavatzamot is only excluded from Ohel for a Nazir, but not from Maga Masa. So there was a necessity to mention it in the Seifa to teach you that the Ohel of Rova Kav does not work. Chatzi Log Dam. What about Chatzi Log Dam? Chatzi Log Dam is mentioned in the first part of the Mishnah. Shmamina Chatzi Log Dam in Revius Dam Lo. It's the same thing again. So it went from Chatzi Log to Revius Dam. Obviously there are measurements in between, but that's the next step. We've got even safer Revius Dam. So why do you need Revius Dam? So Gemara says Hatam Lafukim into Rabbi Akiva. That's to exclude the position of Rabbi Akiva. We've seen Rabbi Akiva a number of times, which is Rabbi Akiva believes Revius Dam Mishnei Meitim right, is mitamei ba'ohel and mitamei anazir, right? He has an extreme position, Rabbi Akiva, right? Rabbi Akiva, v'yisutam v'mishnei mitim, mitamei ba'ohel and is mitamei a nazir, which is actually the last mission in this parak. We'll get to it, so that's coming to exclude the position of Rabbi Akiva. So unless there was a necessity to write it to teach you something new, then it shouldn't have been mentioned. So over here, there's nothing new to teach you when you mention it. So if you write, basar karaui in the ratio, doesn't mention the sefer because there's nothing new to teach you. It's out of the picture. So now the question, ha Abram in Ameis, if he done that. What's the case here of Abram in Ameis? Either Isbe Etzim Kisora, if you have an Etzim Kisora, then my time is Rabbi Yochanan. Why does Rabbi Yochanan have any position, what leg to stand on? I mean, what is his position now? Right, what's Rabbi Yochanan's real position? If it's Etzim Kisora, what's his position here? Because it's clear Etzim Kisora is Mitami B'Mago Masa, even for a Nazir. So how could you say you have an Abram in Ameis that doesn't have Basar Karoi? Fine, it's not Mitami B'Oel. But how could you argue that it's not Mitami B'Mago Masa? Right? It's got an Etzim Kisora. Be the Lislebe Etzim Kisora. If it doesn't have an Etzim Kisora, my time is the Reish Lakish. And if it doesn't have the size of Etzim Kisora, why does Reish Lakish believe it's Mitami B'Mago Umaso? Right? How can they have this extreme position here? So Amar Lachar Reish Lakish Lom is Meleshbe Etzim Kisora. Right? It's not having an Etzim Kisora. Afilu Afi Rachmana Rabbio. That the Rachmana, the Pasuk includes it. The Pasuk includes this case of less than an etzim kisora, that's an aver. Basically, this is the concept of aver. That aver has significance even when it doesn't have an etzim kisora. And this is, how do we have this? Tanya, we're going to go through two massive brises here. One brise, this is the first brise we have here, is dealing with ol. And then we're going to deal with the second brise on the next Talmud, which deals with mago. And the Gemara is having to reconcile between the two brises. And we're going to see that you have to come up with a case where it's less than etzim kisora. And nevertheless, the brise or the apostle teaches us that it's mitame b'mago masa. So what's the case that it's mitame b'mago masa with less than an etzim kisora? When you have a aver, when you have a limb, so you have to have a limb, some sort of aver that does not have basar karoi, less than an etzim kisora, but still because that's a shame aver to it, right? Then it has a din of mago umasa. That'll be the thing. What do you mean? No, but it has to be an Abram in a mix. They have to have an Abram in a mix.
So you're so sure of this flesh that it's considered
No, it has to be Ma'ale Aruka. That's the Gemara's definition. It has to be ability that it would regenerate or survive. If it was attached to the body, it would survive. No, even if it has to be an Abram. That's be an Abram. Abram in a mix. Abram in a
mix. What if you don't have this on the side?
Right? If you just have Basar. No, Basar in a mix that we had earlier. Basar makes it a Zayas. That's a separate category. Right? Yeah, probably. I mean, that was the Gemara. And that's what the Gemara dealt with before. Exactly. That's what you have to deal with. Something like a fingertip or something that's a small aver. Things that are very, I mean, small. You have to deal with. You have to deal with extremities. It's going to have to be an extremity of sorts that has very, it's small, has not an essence, so it doesn't have a size basar. Right, exactly.
You can also be talking about an infant.
That was the other possibility, right? Infant or nafel, which you have, but by nafel you need the whole nafel, so it's not going to work.
It's
not
nafel, but
very small limb. Okay, let's go. All right, so now let's go through the price. Netan, you have your price. B'chol asher yiga al pnei ha-sadeh. So this is the pasuk by, this is Parsha Chukas, right, by the Tumas, right, Tuma of Shlishi v'Shvi'is, the seventh day Tuma that comes from becoming contact with the Tumas Ameis. So it says, "Boisha asher yiga al pnei ha-sadeh b'chol cheret o b'meis," and then it continues on, right? So the pasuk. Now the Gemara says, "Al pnei ha-sadeh." What is pnei ha-sadeh? Zeh amahayil al pnei ha-meis. This teaches you Tumas ha-ohel. Because right, only when it's al pnei ha-sadeh. But if it's covered or under an ohel, right, then it is mitamei. Meaning when it's under avir ha-olam, then it's not mitamei b'ohel. But if it's covered or has a roof over it, then it is mitamei b'ohel. B'chalal. What's a chalal? Right, a chalal is eiver min ha-chai. Right, chalal implies something that was cut off from the mace, meaning that not from the mace, but you have something that was removed or sliced off. Eiver min ha-chai. B'yesh lo lahalot aruka. Again, the idea that eiver min ha-mace that has enough to regenerate, that if it was attached, it would survive. Cherev, harizek kechlal. This is a principle that we have throughout Shas. I mentioned in other places. What? That metal that comes into contact. I'll do it simply. If you have a sword that comes into contact with a mace, it does not become, it does not drop a darga in tuma. Meaning that if you have a cherev that touches a mace, usually an item that touches a mace is an abha tuma. The mace is an abha tuma. steps down one level to be good to neck, when it's touched, it becomes an abatuma. That's not true of a metallic object that touches a mace. A metallic object that touches a mace remains at the level of the mace and becomes a dia botatuma. It also happens to be true that if a metallic object touches an abatuma, here also remain a abatuma. I mean, it works on both levels. Harachayr of Harizeh, well. Right, that's the position. What? Right, only by Tumat Met. It's only by Tumat Met. It's only by metallic objects, at least according to the Rabbeinu Tam. It's only by metallic objects. It's what the Rosh brings down, which I didn't see this before, but he brings a Rav Yitzchak Bistufanti, Aklishetef, and even other items, not even metallic items, but I think the general consensus of Rishonim is that only metallic cherev is a metallic object, and has to do with metal. Metal is a unique instrument that has this din of cherev klal. Obemes, zeva eivar nechlal min ames. That's eivar min ames. Alright, Obe Etzim Adam, Ze Robat Samot. Etzim Adam, that's Robat Samot, that are Metame Be Ohel. Right? Obe Kever, Ze Kever Satum. This is a Kever Satum. This happens to be a difficult line here. What is a Kever Satum? Okay, the way the Mefarsh explains it, this is a Kever Satum, is a Kever that does not have a Tepach, a Tepach, an Ohel over the Kever. Since it doesn't have it all over the Kever, it does not protect the Tuma from going up. There's no Ohel over the Tuma, and the Tuma goes all the way up. So Shamayim goes down. And that's what he says the next line in the Gemara. Zamar Mar, Tuma Bokat Vola, Bokat Vyoredet. When there's not an Ohel, if there's not a Tefach space, Ohel is defined by Tefach. A Tefach cubed is an Ohel. So anytime you have an Ohel does two things. One, it brings Tuma under it, but also prevents Tuma from extending beyond it. Okay, so now if you have an Ohel over a mace, right, then the tuma is contained within that ohel. It doesn't go above that ohel, or it doesn't go below that ohel. There's something called tuma ritzutza. Tuma ritzutza is a tuma mace that's found in a enclosed area, which does not have a ohel or a space above it. But it does not have an ohel or a space above it, it's called tuma ritzutza, and that tuma goes up the shemayim and down to the tahom. And since there's no ohel preventing the tuma from going, then the tuma's ohel extends all the way to shemayim and extends all the way down. So if you walk on top of it, you're going to be tamei. And that's what the Gemara continues to do. That's the position of the Mefarish. The problem with that is that's not called Kever Satum. That's called Tuma Ritzutza. Right? And why did the Gemara use Kever Satum? So based on that, Tosus over here says that's not what it's talking about. There's something called Tumas Satum, which is a Kever. A grave that is, has an Ohel, has enough space, has a Tefach under it, has a special din. There's a din of a Kever that if you have a mace in a Kever, and then you have like a, let's say a crypt that's around it, and it covers over, and there's a tefach between the mace, that when you walk on top of that crypt, not only you tamei when you walk above the mace, but you're tamei if you walk above the entire airspace of the kever, and that's called kever satum, and that's what we're talking about over here. Right, so that is called, right, so that's the unusual case. It's called kever, exactly. So this is the unusual case, it's called kever. Kever satum is not the case, where the kever is totally enclosed and there's nothing, there's no exit for the tuma. Which is that one of the requirements of Ohel is that there be an entrance.
Oh, is that they deal with the windows?
Right, it's very good, right? And all those, the Mishnahs deal with this, which is that you need some sort of exit. You have to have a way to get the Tuma out of the Ohel. So the Ohel has to have a opening or some sort of exit from it. So if it doesn't have an exit from the Ohel, then the Ohel becomes not like an Ohel to protect, but an Ohel that expands the Tuma up like this Kever Satum. So this is an unusual case.
If you have a mace in an Ohel, right, put him in a... And that kli, that's Tzemik Patil.
No, but Tzemik Patil protects from the mace, the tuma of the mace coming into the kli, that's protecting from going out. Because there will be a kli cheres that's tamei does not work for Tzemik Patil. So if the mace is inside the kli cheres, he's metamei the kli cheres, and there's no longer a protection. Tzemik Patil protects tuma from coming in. Right, I don't know. It's an interesting, I don't know how they deal with it exactly on a plane, because
they have an opening.
They have an opening in the.
Why not?
I'm saying, but how does a coin fly on a plane that has a mace on it? I don't. It's always bothered me. That's one. And number two is that. Right. I think they have an all. That's what they do. They do something with an all mitzvah ohel. I don't know all the dini. I have to.
All bottom compartment to keep the luggage and stuff.
The plane should protect the coming from if you pass over,
flying over.
Right.
Because it's special. Yeah, because it's special. Because oil, and oil that moves is not considered an oil. That's the problem. Flying oil is not an oil. That's the problem. All right, but that's a separate issue. But yes, these are all good questions about Kever Satum. But it's good. I just want to finish up the daf. So here, anyway, Kever Satum. Problem for Tosfos is what's the next line in the Gemara. Damar Tuma Bukat Valeret has nothing to do with Kever Satum. So guess what Tosfos writes? B'chdei Atya just came down. They brought it down. They felt like bringing it down. They brought it down as a sidebar. And that's what Tosfos has to deal with. That Tuma Bukat Valeret is not relevant to Kever Satum. Kever Satum is a specific din that it has nothing to do with the maid. It means that the Tuma spreads through the oil and then goes up and down. But that has a unique category. It's not Tuma Bukat Valeret. It's a din in Tuma Ritzuksa, not a din in Tuma Kever Satum. That's what Tosfos says. Let's see the last Tosfos on the Amud Beis here. Right? Yeah, but it's a term that's specifically used. Bukat Allah, Bukat Yerad, it has to do with Tumah Ritzutza. It's not a din in Kever Satum. Alright, Kever Satum is a din in Ohel. That Ohel spreads the Tumah and then allows it to move up and down. Alright, so that's it. So if you look at the Tosfos, the last Tosfos on the Amud, on the Gemara Beis, it says B'chdei Atya, that they brought it down for no reason. I mean, not no reason, but as a sidebar. That's what he just said, but that's a terminology that's used by Tumah Ritzutza, not by Kever Satum. It's working by din of Ohel, not a din in Bukat Olah. Bukat Olah Riyadah means that the Tumah, there's nothing doing, the Tumah just rises and falls from the mace itself. It's not true here. It's expanded beyond the mace itself, and that's not called Bukat. In fact, it ends up being the same thing, but it's not the din. That's not what the din is applied. All right. When it comes to touching, we have a different drasha. Amar Rav Yehuda Danya. It says what? That Nigia the etzem o bechlau. So what's the etzem? The etzem kisura o bechlau. The eiver nechlau minachai. The im balahalo tzuruka. This is eiver that came from a chai that doesn't have the ability to regenerate. Oh, this sounds exactly like whom? Obemeis, Zeiver Nechlam and Ameis, Obekever, Amar Shlokish, the Kever Shlifnei Adibur. So this is very Shlokish to a T. Right? We have two different limudim. One limud by Ohel, one limud by Nikia. Right? One limud by Ohel includes a Eiver Min Ameis. And an Eiver Min Ameis is also found by the Tumas Nigia. But the Eiver Min Ameis by Ohel has Basar Kiraui, and the Eiver Min Ameis by Nigia has it doesn't have Basar Karoi. So what's the difference? How do you explain the difference between these two prices? Easy. So when it has Basar Karoi, it's Mitami Be'ohel, Maga, and Matzo. When it's only got in Basar Karoi, then it's what? Then it's Mitami Be'maga, Ube, Matzo. So that's it. Exactly. So this is Reish Lakish. This is exactly the limud that Reish Lakish is looking for. This is his position. And I'm Reish Lakish. What is Kever? What is the last term Kever? Zeh Kever, Lifnei Adibur. This is Kever that was prior to Matan Torah. All right, we'll have to deal with this. You know what, I'm going to stop here, even though the topic really continues to the top, we can really finish up, but I'm going to stop here, because this topic of Kever Lifnei Adibur is a slightly involved topic, and we'll deal with it. There's a famous Rabbeinu Tam from the Gemara in Tanis, so we'll deal with it tomorrow. But basically, you can see how this is the Reish Lakish's position. Now, Rabbi Yochanan believes, and now Rabbi Yochanan's going to be challenged by this Braisa. What's Rabbi Yochanan going to do with this Braisa, or how's Rabbi Yochanan going to deal with the Braisa over here? So we'll have to deal with that tomorrow. You know what? I'll read quickly. Yeah. All right. You know what? I'll read through the Gemara here, and then tomorrow I'll talk about Kever Lifnei Adibur. Okay. I will do it that way. All right. Hi, Eber Min Ameis. Hey, Fidami. What's the case of Eber Min Ameis? Idi is be'asim kitzora. If it has etzim tzara, hainu no geah be'etzem. We already mentioned that. The Braisa explicitly mentioned etzim kitzora. Right. Ella the leis be'asim kitzora. Filafi rachma rabia. Right. So the Braisa over here says that the pasuk includes etzem less than etzim kitzora. Eber Min Ameis is for tagamas. This is exactly Reish Lakish. So I'm really feeling no. Lolam diisbe. No, it has etzim kitzora. Oh, if it has etzem kisora, why do I need to mention etzem kisora twice? Right, why do I need one reboy for etzem kisora and then one reboy for Eiver Min Ameis that has etzem kisora? Right, it says, Enolinian the Magol, Enolinian Maso. So, because what if that's talking about Tuma Magol? How do you know Tumas Maso? That's the point. The point is that we had needed etzem kisora twice. Once to teach you that etzem kisora is Mitame Ben Magol. Once to teach you that etzem kisora is Mitame Ben Maso. Okay, Maso. Right, you need one for O, one for Magol, one for Maso. That's right. So now, what does Reish Lakish do for Maso? That's what the Rush says. Rush says, Sarachirin. How Reish Lakish gets too much matzo by a etzim kisora. I would say, and I would argue for Reish Lakish, that it's a package deal. That meaning that you have, there are two categories. There's too much ohel, there's too much magamatzo. Magamatzo is one category of tuma, and then there's a too much, right, ohel, which is the second category. Once you're in the category of maga, you also get matzo with you.
Can we look at other places where maga?
There are places where maga applies and masa does not apply. So you have to. So there is such a thing as maga without masa. But I think generally, more generally, when you're talking about these categories in Tumas and Meis, you're talking about maga masa versus ohel. And therefore, I think that's what you're going to have to answer up for Reish Lakish. All right, tomorrow I'll come back and we'll address this question about Reish Lakish and Kei versus the Fan Dibor, and we'll discuss that topic. All right, we'll stop here.